trials comes. I was going to go another direction, but the Lord kind of led me down some lines. But my point in that, the Lord gave me a revelation back then. I had a it was real, made real to me, that I was so caught up in the Word, confession of the Word. People say what they want. You know, the Bible says, let all my conversation become of the gospel, right? And I was endeavoring as a young Christian then that I'm not going to say the wrong things. I was working on it. I wasn't perfect in it. I messed up a lot. But at that time, I didn't even see when the heat came. And I realized it. I thought, man, everybody that says they're born again didn't experience that. And I thought, wow, man, how come I experienced that, God? How come I experienced it? He said, you would, like Sandy, cut it off. See, I'd cut all of it off. My mind was stayed on the Lord. Did I have battles? Oh, you better believe it. Did I feel like I was spiritual? No way. I felt like I was the lowest one on the totem pole, far spiritually speaking, at that time. But I didn't realize that I was pretty high on the Lord and the things of the Lord. And I was going to go down some lines tonight, and the Lord began to speak to me about some things. And I began to think about the young kids and the teenagers. And we think sometimes, I guess, I know I hadn't thought that the kids are going through trials. They go through trials at home. Parents got demands and things. They want to do what they want to do, you know. And that's trials to them, that's trials. And I thought about it. I thought they're the same way we are, you know. If we teach them the Word of God to honor our mother and father, you know, then that trial will be easier for them because they're honoring God. They're doing it for the Lord, teaching them, you know, God does this. God wants you to do this because of this. Just, you know, but they go through trials, you know. They go through trials at school. And it's inevitable that trials are going to come to even our kids, you know. So it's very important, I think, us as spiritual people to minister to them on a spiritual side, you know, so that when they're at school, they're looking to God. They're trusting God. They know Romans 8:28, God's going to work this. They're criticizing me, talking about me. They got their little cliques over there. The teachers don't like me. And I believe if we teach them the Word of God, you know, even at a young age like that, and realize their trials are just as big as ours. That, you know, they might be not anything to us, but they're big trials too. Kind of like Travis, I used to didn't make him go to revivals because, I mean, I went a lot now. I mean, it's just what I wanted to do. It wasn't religious or nothing. I just, you know, I'm on fire for the Lord. And, man, if I hear of a good meeting, you know, man, I'm going, you know. I'm going to go, and I would go and all of that. And I wouldn't make Travis go, you know. Then he got up on in his teenage years, and I started hearing parents say, well, you know, I got to be the friend to him. That was their trial, the parent. I want to be their friend and all that. And I made up my mind personally. I'm his father. I'm not his friend. He's got all kinds of friends in school, whatever, you know. I'm not his friend. I'm his father. You know, and I made that conscious decision, you know, and I even began to preach it, and I got on some people's nerves, not just here, but here too, you know. But I always thought, as long as you're in my house, you're going to my church. When you move out, you go on, you go, you know. Because the reason why I'm saying that is because I felt like that was my trial, you know, to let him get freer at 15 or 16 in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual sense, that was my trial. And I felt like that if I flunked that trial, that I would regret it all my life. Amen. Because I couldn't get that 14 and 15 years. You can't make it up. And I knew I can't make it up. And so I passed that test. I thought Satan is testing me with my emotions, you know, to be emotional, when the Bible says we are to live our life by faith. Right? Not ruled by our emotions, ruled by what the Word of God says. See, that's why you don't deviate from the Word. Don't do it. Like, kind of like I told Travis one time, he's wanting to put Weston on her pride thing. It was just a teenage pride thing on his arm, and his He had found scriptures in their Bible. Because, you know, and that showed me something about him. I had taught him. If you ain't got the word on it. I say, so now he's twisting it. When you're not right, you'll twist it. So he was twisting it, you know, and I got scriptures for my tattoo, you know. I bear the marks. Paul bore the marks of the Lord Jesus. And I thought, man, you know, and I told Travis, I said, I told him, them marks, he was stoned. Not joint stoned. He was rocked and stoned and drug out of the city and let, those were the marks. He was shipwrecked, right? I mean, these things for Jesus. Those trials. So I told Travis later, I thought, man, he's twisting the word of God to get a tattoo. If you want a tattoo, get a tattoo. Leave the Bible out of it, you know. But I even had to teach him in, don't twist it. And I told him, my son, don't ever. He wasn't really consciously thinking this up. I'm going to twist the word of God. That's the way Satan does it. He makes it look innocent and all of that stuff to get us to water down the word. I am prosperous, and I don't care what my business says. I don't care what my finances says. I don't care if everybody around me is failing and falling. I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm healed, right? The trials come to tell me, you know, you had a good job all these 33 years or however long it's been, and it ain't going to happen again. I find the same scripture that I found in 1997 that caused me to believe God and do it, and they'll do it again. Amen. So, anyways, I told Travis, I said, son, don't ever twist the word of God. If it's against you, you know, don't twist it. You know, just admit it. That way, see, you don't deceive yourself. You don't get deceived, see. I'd rather know that I'm sinning, right, than to think that I'm not and be sinning. But see, the Word of God, and that's what it does, it challenges our kids, it challenges our teenagers, you know, to trust God. It does seemingly put limits on our flesh and constrain us, and it's supposed to. Right? The love of God constrained me from chewing people out and cussing them out and beating them up. And I still think I could, I probably couldn't. Johnny, that's been quite a few years, you know. I'm not nowhere near fast as I was 25 years ago, man. I'd probably try to hit somebody and they'll hit me twice before my fist gets to them now. Now, my mind don't tell me that, hallelujah. But I'm going to stand on the word of God, but I'm not going to have that fleshly attitude, you know, because I will share it with the grandkids in school. Well, they're bullying them. Oh, they're bullying them. I mean, we got to teach them forgive, right? Overcome evil with good. Go help them take the trials and get victory. There's victory in Jesus. I don't forget the song, but let's don't sing it here and just be religious. We don't, but I'm just saying, keep it at the forefront of our mind. Hallelujah. See, this world and, you know, in politics and all of that has molded a lot of Christians. Somebody asked me the other day, or sent me a message the other day, and they said, you one of them MAGAs? And I said, well, I said, the MAGA means make America great again. I said, I voted for Republicans. I said, but I'm not a label that y'all put on us. Don't be a label. Right? I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not. What I'm saying is, I'm not going to let the world, I'm not going to be conformed to its way of thinking and being to divide and separate me from anybody. Right? Hallelujah. But when trials comes, I mean, it is inevitable. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations, trials, troubles. He said, but be of good cheer. And then we know what the Scripture says, or we ought to, that His promises are in Him. Yes and amen. In Him. Not outside of Him. I'm going after, I've got it in me to prosper back under, and I'm sitting under my pastor and all of that stuff, you know, and I mean, he's getting a little nervous, Johnny. He's getting a little nervous because he had seen them out there abuse that. They called it name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. Whatever you want to lay hold of, pink Cadillac somebody has, just believe God and whatsoever things you desire, using Scripture. And so he told me one time, he said, you got to be careful with that and that. And it was about confession, because I was going around, and I guess it was spilling out in church too. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. You know, I might have been saying I'm blessed. I don't know. I really wasn't paying attention. I thought it was normal. You know, man. But anyways, he told me, he said, you got to be careful about that confession. He's telling me, he's just warning me. You know, and all of that. Well, I ain't got the experience that he's got and saw what he saw for him to tell me what he's telling me. But he was a good father spiritually, right? He told me, and then so I'm listening to him, you know, and I said, well, let me ask you something, Brad. And it wasn't rebellion. It was a true question. I said, if somebody abused it and didn't do it right, it tells me in the Bible what I'm doing is the way to do it. I believe, and therefore I speak, confess. Call it what you want to. I said, just because somebody does it and abuses it, don't mean it's wrong. Does it? I'm asking him. He said, well, no. I just want you to be. I said, okay, I'll be careful. So, you know, not going after things and money and not letting my job drive me. I mean, my job ain't drove me for 33 years. I actually said I'll quit it before I'll quit God. Right? We should. I mean, have we got so far now that we can't make it without money? I believe we can. I believe He'll bring it in. I believe, but God, He'll. I just thought about Bradley. He's going along there and he's going to the hospitals and praying for people, and they're, you know, led by the Lord and all that. And this woman dies and leaves him over all of it, unbeknown to him. And I think he got $10,000 right off of the spot, and then got a percentage of everything that was sold. You know, does that not sound like that God daily loads you up with benefit? But you know what? What about in his trial? If he said, "Nah, I ain't got time for that. Nah, I ain't got." I guarantee you, he wouldn't have got that inheritance. Hallelujah. But see, the trials came to him, and he said, I'm going to do the will of God. That's it. It might not be you going and praying for nobody. It's the will of God. That's why the Word of God tells me, keeps me in line with the will of God. I'm to honor my mother and father. I did that with my mother. I didn't have the chance with my father because he died before I got born again. And I didn't even know you're supposed to do that. But now when it came down to my mom, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I missed it with my daddy. I said, but I'm going to do it. And I wasn't doing it for my mama. I was doing it because the Word of God said for me to honor my mother and father. This is the first command with promise. He said, and you'll live long on account of it. There's benefits in her. So I set out and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to honor my mother. I'm not going to ever disrespect her again. I disrespected her a lot in my life as a rebellious teenager. See, that's why y'all that are young, y'all young teenagers, youth or whatever, you know, don't let that rebellious spirit get on you. It ain't you. You're good. You came out of mom and them. Look at them. Right? You're good. You're created in the image and likeness of God. But Satan brings those trials to you and tells you you're under Travis. He's like, he come to us and he says, when we get 18, I'm getting married, I'm moving out, and ain't nothing y'all can do about it. He had 18. Mama had told him 18. And I thought, as long as you live in my house, if you're 30, you're still going to do what I say. Right? Age ain't got nothing to do with freedom. So I'm out there and I'm thinking about it and just pondering on it. See, that was a trial to me, Johnny. You know, because I'm like, man, what's wrong with him? He's got it made here. He ain't got a bunch of rules. He's got to go to bed at 9 o'clock. What's wrong with that? Can't stay out past 10 o'clock on the weekend. What's wrong with that? Nothing good after 10's going on. All the good kids done gone home, gone to bed. Them little hellions are out there at that time of the night, getting shot now and stabbed and killed and run over. Right? And so I was like, man, and so I'm pondering about it, and I'm like, man, what do I do about this, Lord? You know, I've never been there, Johnny. I've never been a father before. So I knew what mama would do or some of the other ones. And I've seen my daddy, because my brothers climb up in the pine. There were 17 of us, which kind of raised a little rough. I might be why I'm a little rough around the edges. But, I mean, he can't get him to come down. He's about half drunk, been down to the pool hall down there in Oneonta. And he let me stand up. Dad would take me down there, and he taught me how to cuss. And I'd stand up 4 or 5 years old, and I'm just cussing up a storm in there, and all them poo people in there, they enjoying that, boy. They'd give me candy. Woo, I was the trick of the day down there. Well, you know, he goes up there, and I'm just listening to him. He said, y'all boys come down. There was two of them up in there, Glenn and Eddie. And they'd climb up in there. Tree for some reason hiding from him, and so he goes and gets his gun. He comes down there and he said, "I'm gonna blow y'all out of that tree if you don't come down." You know, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, "They better come down. Dad gonna shoot them." Daddy, it was normal. I mean, I thought that was just the way that it is. Shoot them out. Shoot squirrels out that way. Now you wonder why I would kind of might be a little rough, you know, and all that, you know. But coming on over, and I'm like, Lord, what do I do with this? You know, what do I do? And the Lord spoke to me. He didn't say go beat him. He didn't say go scream at him, go demand. You know, he went and he said go tell him. He said tell him he's already free, and Satan is trying to get him bound. See, he was in his trial. But I didn't really realize it. Satan's lying to him, and he's got a picture out here of freedom. Do what I want to do, when I want to do it, you know. I'll stay up late as I want, and whatever the case. Then, I mean, he got in big trouble when he did move out and got free. He got free, and that freedom bound him. I mean, bound him up. I mean, I'm out there, man. They just about drunk before midnight. I come in from a watch night, and I pulled up there in my suit, and they had a fire going, and I didn't know all the whiskey and stuff. When they seen me coming up and turning in, they hid everything. But had this little drunk teenage girl sitting by the campfire over here. She knew me. She had been to church here. But her mom then wouldn't teach them spiritual stuff. They taught them how to be rebellious and stuff, sitting under the good anointing like you sat under, the Word of God. And so she's sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and they're all expecting me to come unglued. Pastor Scotty's here. Pastor Scotty. And I just stood there by the campfire, and I'm looking at them, you know, and I didn't say nothing, you know, and I thought, I'm anointed. And then all of a sudden, she slurs out of her mouth over here, and she said, Brother Scotty, I'm this close to getting saved. But you know what God did, Johnny? God brought me in there at that moment because they was guzzling whiskey. And when I did that, it kind of broke it up. Travis kind of making them leave and all of that. Well, they went home and they were sick for 3 or 4 days, passed out, throwing up in the toilet. So see how free it makes you, teenagers? Don't let Satan lie to you. If you were in and you got covering and parents that pray, don't let the enemy get you to rebel against him, a God. You know, you're smarter than the devil. All of y'all, even the young kids, we teach our grandkids, you know, not to go against mom and dad. We do it, whether we agree with them or not. I don't agree with some of the stuff. And if they ask me, I'll tell them it ain't none of your business what I don't agree with. If I want to tell you, I'll tell you. If I don't, I'll believe God to change y'all. That's the way you do it, right? You believe God to change those situations that may be bringing a major trial to your life, trying to put you in fear, you in anxiety, you in a prison, hallelujah. You believe Him for the things you can't change. You believe for His supernatural power. Therefore, you're turning that trial around, and what it meant to do evil to you, you're turning it around in the name of Jesus, and you are getting the anointing involved. And it destroys those yokes and lifts those burdens. And it wasn't too long, Travis was back on track. He was back on track, more on track, and I praise God for him. I really do. Happy birthday, son. He's a good son. He's never brought dishonor to me that I know of, other than that free life he wanted. But you know what? I didn't stand and think, God, I'm the pastor. Oh, God. Oh, my God, it's going to ruin my ministry. Listen, you cannot ruin the anointing in your life. Nobody can. He's not my evidence of my faith if he goes that way. If he wants the evidence of my faith, that's where he's at now. Hallelujah. But when trials comes to you, let us try to remember that our kids face trials. You know, going to school, Aiden, I don't want to go to school. He doesn't want to quit. He's in the second. It's not going to happen. You know, and Teresa told him the other day, get over it. You're going to school. If you don't go to school, Dad and Mom's going to jail, and then they'll take you and put you with another parent, and then them parents is going to make you go to school. And she said, in other words, you're going to school regardless. Be happy, she told him. Well, having to walk them through that trial. You know what I'm saying? Now, why does he not want to go? I don't know. Maybe he's getting bullied. We don't know about it. Maybe they're making fun. I don't know. Maybe he don't like what they eat at lunch. Whatever the trial that he don't want to go is real. Now, we up here, we done lived through all of it, and we think it's stupid. But let's don't be blind to the fact the Bible says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. But if we're all caught up in things ourselves, the news, the everything, we won't be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as much as we could be and pick up on things and how to handle things. God told me to go tell Travis that. He said, go tell him he's free and Satan's trying to bind him. So I went and I thought, man, that's awesome. So I go and I tell him, I said, son, you're already free. You know, you're always going to have rules. Ain't nobody going to tell me nothing what to do. And that's a lie of the devil to y'all young kids and young youth and teenagers. That's a lie. I mean, you're going to have to get a job. They're going to tell you what to do. Not in a bad way. They hire you. They're going to tell you what to do. So learn submission to the Lord, and then it won't be as hard to the parents. Then it won't be as hard to the when you go to work out here in the workplace, because you're already got a servant's heart. And if you go come out with a servant's heart and just walk with a servant's heart, then you will spare yourself from a lot of trials. I mean, you know, you'll be walking in faith, and you won't have to endure the trials like people without faith and humility's got. You just won't. Meaning, knows you're going to experience financial trials. The Bible says that we make plans, but God directs the heart, right? I mean, I've always said this, God spoke this to me, for me personally. He said, if you've got a need, he said, plant a seed. And I'm telling you, I went further than that. I started planting seeds when I didn't have a need. I don't have to have a need to plant seeds. I bring offerings all the time into this house, and I bring it to the Lord. And that's me releasing my faith in my seed that God will do whatever I need. I don't even do it sometimes. I didn't then just because I had a need. Way back yonder, hallelujah. Well, I can tell you right now, it brings you to, the Bible says in Psalm 66, 12, it says, we went through the fire, we went through the men rode over our heads, but I brought you out to a wealthy place, an abundant place, a well-supplied place. Now, I'm in there and I'm like, well, I'm just in the fire. I'm just in the flood right now. Men's riding over my head. I mean, I walked out seemingly to me every one of them stages. But when I was out of the fire, I didn't keep staying in the fire. I just believe I'm going to stay right here. Just stay in the trial all the time. Just stay in there. Just stay in there. Just stay in there. Just stay in there. That's where a lot of people stay. They don't fight their way out. They don't go to fasting. Like Sandy said, you know, I was attacked after Sunday service for 3 days. Satan. Y'all want to know what happened? I'm here. I thought to myself, man, used to I'd feel backslid for a month when these demons attacked. You got demons that Satan assigns to you at different times. The only thing about it is they can't hold up against faith people because they resist him. Right? And them over there that don't, just, they give in to it and all of that stuff. They go through it week after week. And you just barely can be around them because they're going through a trial. I mean, you'll meet them a month later. I'm just going through a trial. Nobody knows the troubles I have. Well, Ephesians tells us over there to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And he goes on and he tells us, take on the armor of God. We have it. The breastplate of righteousness, the gospel, the helmet of salvation, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have on the waist belt the word of God. He said, do this, he said, because where you can stand against the schemes of the devil. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's one thing I try and endeavor to do. If the devil is using a man or a woman or whatever to steal, to do something to me, I try not to retaliate in the flesh. How do you do that? Stay in a right spirit. Be quiet, if possible. Because, you know, I mean, it's like if I ever speak something, a floodgate opens up for me. It's just, poof, rah, 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 rah. You got to keep that wrong spirit under. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the Bible says that we wrestle, but against principalities, them are ranking, different ranking principalities. Powers. You know what? If you've got power, that means you've got ability. Right? He said you don't wrestle against flesh, but against principalities. Now look, without God and staying submitted to God, you can't resist Him. You will fall for His temptations. The Bible says for me and you to submit ourselves therefore to God. How do we do that? We get in agreement with His Word. God, your word says, honor my mother and father. I'm going to do that. You get in agreement with that. Now you come under an anointing, and then the enemy can't touch you. Financially, you can get protection in your life when trials comes to get you not to tithe or not to give somebody $5 when it's all you got or whatever it might be. Whatever that trial that comes to you to get you not to do what you know is the will of God, that is what you go against. You resist it. And then when you do that, then you come under that the provision of God. You come under the overflow of God. You might not see it right then, feel it right then, but you will experience it, I'm telling you. See, this kingdom is supernatural. It don't operate like we think. Now, when we get on the mind of Christ, we understand it more, how this kingdom works, you know. We understand God more. The more you walk with God, the more you exercise your faith and your consecration to the Lord, the more that you will discern good and evil. You will discern it. You have discernment. Hallelujah. The more we walk with God, the less that these trials that comes. I have trials in my business 33 years. I thought I would have done whooped them all by now. That's a misconception that the enemy would tell you, if you make it 2 years in your business and get it established, it's an established business. I've thought it before, it's an established business. And then it dries up, Richard, and I'm like, oh my God. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Lord, get back on the word. You know? And so, it don't make any difference after all these years, 33 years in business. I don't really know a lot. All I know is I've tried to acknowledge him and believe for favor every time I get ready to go see my accountant. I sit there and I'm like, oh, Jesus, Lord, help me favor here. Give me favor here, Lord. I'm believing for your favor. I'm believing for your favor. Well, believe for favor. I used to fear it from April the 15th until April the 15th. Satan tried to keep me in fear all year. You wouldn't think so, right? I mean, right after it'd be like tax time is only 11 and a half months. That's terrible, Johnny. I mean, I had to fight that fear, you know, in business. Then the IRS called me. They sent me a letter audited, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, I'm done now. I'm done now. This is in the 90s back there. And I thought, oh, my God. I mean, I'd heard case after case. I mean, no, Satan will give you evidence and testimonies of bad. I mean, I'd heard it in my family and Teresa's family and other families and everywhere. When the IRS gets on you, you are at it. And so I thought, oh, my God, man. And so they're like, we're going to be there so-and-so day. And they set a time up. And I would like to say as much Bible that I was reading, as many jails as I was preaching freedom to, and the streets and the ministries and going to church and all of that, that would not a trial, but I would be lying. I learned then that I can believe for God to deliver somebody else, but what about it when it's you? What about it when it comes to your house, Scotty? And so, I mean... You know, I took 2 Corinthians 10, blessed God, and I went over it again and again and again. And every time the thought of the IRS had come, I'd have to cast it out. That's what the Bible says. It was trying to get me to meditate on the wrong stuff, to say, lay there in fear and just imagine what's going to happen. You can't. And so I just believed for favor and I'd come in and I'd just praise God. I mean, the same thing that I'm preaching right now in 1990-something. The day of the audit come. Now, I got to say I was nervous. And so they said, but I'm believing for favor. It wasn't just that nothing, that this stuff happened because I laid down and got in fear and didn't believe God and I kept my confession, but God, it's going to turn to my good. According to Romans 8:28, Lord, you said if you be for me, who can be against me? And I'm saying those scriptures, praise God, and that's the only relief I was getting. See, if that's all the relief you get where you at in your trial, that's all you need. That's all. You don't need any evidence. They had a time that I'm going to get evidence. And I couldn't change it. I mean, there ain't no opting out. And so anyways, she came and I said, what do you need? And she said, I need however many, whatever she said. And so I just got all of it out and I set it there. And she's going through, went through 1 month of folders and got another one out, and she's going through it. And I don't know, she sat there about maybe 5-6 minutes. And they're delivering my garage doors that day. She just happened to come on that day. And that truck back then, there was a big garage door right there under that big that truck back then. And she looked over there and she said, "What's that?" And I said, "That's them delivering my garage doors." I said, "You're going to have to excuse me." I said, "I'm going to have to unload those garage doors." And she looked over there and she wrote the name of that off that truck. And she shut them folders up and she said, "The audit's over." She said, and she signed the paper. And she walked out of there and I thought, "Whoa, it works. Jesus, it really works. Lord, this trial tried to eat me up for 2 months. And it didn't get me to worry, but I would have to get it off my mind at night. I'm telling you about trials. And then whenever they got done with them, I got a letter from them, and they had overcharged me some like $10,000 over a course of a period of time. And they owed me $10,000, the door company. And I thought, man, that's what Romans 8:28 means. He works all things together for the good to those that love him. And though God was showing me, it wasn't that God was doing it. It was that I was allowing God to do it. God couldn't have done it if I hadn't stood in faith. Your personal life, you've got to let him in. You've got to let him have control. People says, "Jesus, take the wheel," but they don't really, some of them mean it. You know, it's easy to tonight to sit in here and say, "Glory to God, what a message. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm not going to yield to that trial. It's coming. Your test will be here, might even be here before you get home if you got a cell phone." But what you do with that trial is going to determine the outcome that what the Word of God has already laid out. It's already done. But he comes in through us standing on the Word of God. Don't let trials, listen, use them to your advantage. When I realized that years ago, people, they'd say the devil. When I'd hear a Christian say the devil, I'd walk up to him and I'd say, "He works for me." And then some of them would be like, "What do you mean he works for you, man? Ain't you a Christian?" I'm like, "Yeah. He actually didn't work for me. I mean, I wasn't signing my check or nothing. But what he meant for good, I used Romans 8:28 on him, and it worked to my good, so I figured that he's working for me." So I would tell him, "He works for me." Now be like, "Are y'all Christians?" "Yeah. He should be working for you. Everything that he means for your bad, stand on God's word, believe God, and don't back down. And what he means for your bad, God will turn it around and make him pay." Hallelujah. See, that's why, you know, you ought to boldly confess that you ain't afraid of the devil. Come on over here and try me. That's kind of hard, ain't it? That's because you ain't renewed your mind yet. You don't yet believe that God give you power over him. You've been given power over all the power of the devil. Three preachers standing around. I'm not just telling you a story. I confronted Satan with the stuff. When he would deceive the church. You know, everybody standing up, "The devil's doing this. Devil's doing this." One of my teachers down there stood up and testified one night. Her kids had got up there to be teenagers and don't want to come to church and all of that, and let them stay home. Stood up, "Well, we've got to do something. We're losing our teenagers." I looked at her, I said, "You can't blame it on the church. The church is not here to keep your teenagers. They're here to teach them the Word of God, and you better get them in here and get them in it. But don't blame the church. The church is not the church's fault. They can't make them come to church. You can." So I always thought Travis is going to church. I don't care if he's gray bearded. If he's still at my house, you're going to church. And I would advise every one of y'all, if your kids are like that, they need to be in the house of God until they get their own job and their own money and own car and get out. That right there is truth. But it's not popular. It's not popular. Hallelujah. But it works. I can tell you by experience it works. Hallelujah. And then when he really got out of church, he wanted back in pretty quick. He had been walking with God all that time through my and Teresa's relationship with the Lord. and going to church and experiencing a good life, whether he ever realized it was God or not, he was experiencing a good life. And then when he got out to where I told him, I said, son, I said, there'll come a time when you can't live off of my anointing anymore. In other words, I was telling him, you're not going to be blessed like you are living with us and doing all that. You're going to get out on your own. Then you're going to have your own relationship with God. And then he lost that relationship by choice. And then he started going, he could make $1,000 a week and broke before Monday. Behind on his bills, all that. Make, I don't care what you make. See, and then he finally comes back to the Lord. See, what he done, he let the trials that he was going through, he let the enemy convince him, and the proof was in his actions. He let the enemy convince him, and the enemy took him out. He followed the enemy out through those thoughts and those words and the picture that he had painted, however it was going to be. And the only reason I knew that is because I already lived it myself. Get married, we're going to have a high picket fence, and it's going to be wonderful. And you know, and then weeds begin to grow in the yard. So see, you're wiser than the enemy. Don't let the enemy, and just like with me, I mean, you know, if I thought one time, I thought a million times, I just can't pastor anymore. I just can't do it. I'm going through this. And every time I get a good message, I get phone calls, and it tries to bust that bubble. And then it's hard for me to go preach. I just can't. That's why I said it here Wednesday night, and I don't have it. I won the victory through my stance of faith concerning what I'm saying. Is you've got to get rid of the mentality that you can't. You find what God's will is, and then you take Philippians 4:19, and I believe it is 4:13 or 19, one of the two. It says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And God, I'm in you, and I can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Travis, he don't like to work a lot. Who does? Anybody in here just love it? You'd pay somebody to go work. He will right now. I better not say nothing because they usually get them a trial, don't they? Better not say nothing. Enjoy it, baby. You enjoy that work. Work hard. Work hard, serve God, and you'll be wealthy one day. You will. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, I say it, I enjoy the works of my hands. Now, there's times I have to take that and stand on it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not that way. But I didn't even want to say that. Because I have trained myself that if I never say the wrong thing, my life turns out good, according to the Word of God. Amen? I call myself, I believe that I am the best thing that ever happened to Teresa other than Jesus. Now, she disagrees somewhat with that sometimes, according to how she feels. But that's not going to change my believing, right? I'm not going to let her experience or her reaction, and I'm not pointing her out, she's a good woman. She's a good wife, she's a good mother, she's a good grandmother. She's actually better now than I've ever. I told her. She said, I looked over there, and she's changing her lifestyle now. That's great, and she's eating different stuff and all that stuff. She told me the other night. She said, "Hey," she said, "Tate, you better take a picture of this." She said, "Cause you ain't gonna know what you say." You ain't gonna recognize. I'm gonna be so transformed. You ain't gonna recognize me. But it's better than sitting over, I'm this, and I just can't do nothing. I don't feel good, but it's better than, that's good news to my ears, right? She ain't sitting there, I'm a victim. She's sitting there, but God, I got it in my power through Jesus Christ to change. And so I was looking at her, this lady, Richard looked over there, and she said, "What are you looking at me for?" I said, "I've been looking at you for 40-something years." Like that. And I said, "Well," I said, "I'm getting a good mental image of how you are right now. Because I'm fixing to lose you." what I mean, she's going to lose whatever she's doing. I'm not going to recognize her, so that means that something's going. Something's got to go. If I won't change, guess what? Something's got to go. If I don't want to be angry no more, then anger's got to go. If I don't want to be oppressed no more, then thinking on the wrong stuff has got to go. Right? Something's got to go. I got to replace those thoughts with, I believe I'm a good-looking man. Now, I know my nose is crooked. It's straighter now because I had surgery on it back under. And my ears are still sunglasses. They're tippy. You know, slide them on there. And the first time I did it, I thought, man, they're warped. These glasses are warped. So I'm trying to see if they can get them straight. And I realized, and I looked in the mirror, and I had this thought, man, your ears are not level. That was almost devastating to find out that my ears wasn't level. Then Satan jumped on that. Boy, you're deformed. Then I had to come back and say, nope, I'm made in the image and likeness of God. You are the reason why one of my ears are lower, because you lied to Eve and the curse came in. See how the Word of God will cause you to take what really in the natural, praise God, that defeats a lot of folk and all of that stuff, you know, and turn it around and feel like a warrior with warped ears. You're not defeated. The only way you're defeated is if you lay down the sword of the Spirit, you lay down your faith, you just lay it down and say, I'm tired of living good. I'm tired of having victory. I'm tired of winning every time. That's what you got to do. I'm tired of God working it out and getting money back when I thought it was going to cost me. I'm tired. I'm tired of Satan trying to steal and I caused him to pay me. I'm just tired of it. That's exactly what you're saying. But us, not this church, don't do that. But see, we're talking all over the world. And these young ones need to hear this stuff. You know, they need to hear it. They need to hear it, praise God, where they turn us parents not into trials but into victory in Jesus. Amen? Just because they're going through a trial and don't want to do things don't mean they're bad. It just means they're like us. They have to discipline themselves just like we do. They've got to learn how to do that in Jesus. Then they get peace and all that. Then when they experience that, then they get up. I can tell you, Johnny, the ones in my school when I was a kid that I thought was weak and all of that, that were Christians. I wasn't putting two by two together back then, but they were gentle. They were laid back, man. They always was happy. I mean, it's just like, I'm sure they wasn't. I mean, I'm sure they wasn't, but their life was full of peace. It was full of Jesus. You know, and after I got saved, I thought, man, that's why. That's why. They were Christians. Me and Teresa was married, and all I wanted was a good marriage. And I thought to myself, my brother Glenn and Becky, they were Christians. And I hadn't tied it together, you know. And, man, they just had it seemed like a really good marriage. And so I had this thinking. I thought, well, I went to Glenn. I said, how long have y'all been married, man? He said, about 7 years, something like that. I thought, man, if we can make it that far, that's what it is. I just got to keep on. We was without God. Well, 7 years, that's when I paid for a divorce. It was worse after 7 years. Hallelujah. But once I got born again, and then I felt the victory that was in Christ Jesus and the confidence that I had in God, that if I gave something to God, that stuff was not becoming trials to me anymore. When I started feeling that, then I realized, I thought, man, that's what it was. They had something I didn't. They had faith. They had victory in Jesus Christ. They'd give their heart to Jesus. You know, and Jesus moved into their marriage and into their life. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so those things wasn't trials anymore. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalms 34:19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. It says, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Man, I got to read this right here before I forget. But Satan, he's strategic. That's why and I have revelation of that. You should. You don't. I'm telling you now, and you will. Travis, he's going down, and everywhere he goes, Mac, just everybody wants to race him. And I'm like, Well, they ain't wanting to race me. My truck's louder than his. Well, the problem was he's out there taunting everybody. Whoop, whoop, whoop. So, you know, I told him one day, I said, I can tell you right now, I said, Satan's setting you up. The reason why I know that is because the strategic plans are in the Bible that Satan strategically, the wiles, the tricks, the traps, the setups. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm not having that problem. I said, you know, I pull up to the red light, everybody ain't wanting to race. And I told him, I said, look, I said, Satan's watching you. I said, and he's going to set you up and have the law there and you're going to get busted. I said, because that guy sitting over there is going to have a thought from Satan that ain't serving God. He's going to have a thought, or she's going to have a thought, I'm going to blow his doors. I said, and they're going to taunt you and you're going to fall for it and you're going to try to blow their doors and you're going to get busted. And you got set up by the devil. So I went a few days, I thought I was down there in Onion, and I thought, I'm going to test this thing. I know it's going to work. So, because I've always had loud exhaust, I like it that way. You know, and so I pulled up there, throwed it in neutral. Wabba! 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 Look over there at them. Boom. Drop her down in gear, and they're like, I mean, engine's up there, man. They pull it in there, they done got her ribbed up. And I mean, when it hits, they, whoom! Now this, I thought, it works, Lord. I knew it worked. I set him up, but I wasn't the devil, but I could have been. I moved on that flesh, and if it had been a cop, I would have caused that dude to get a ticket. He would have been his fault, but I provoked it. See, Satan wants you, he wants you out in sin. He wants to provoke you and tempt you, make you look like that's what you would enjoy, but it's not, I'm telling you. It's not. Be content where you are. Be happy where you are. Praise God. And believe God to go further. Believe God to work things out. He uses people that will yield to him to attack God's people. He uses people to attack you at times. Don't get on that realm of the flesh now. That's his tactic. When somebody attacks, people attack you or something like that, you know, and you know it's the devil, don't respond back the way he did. Just don't do it. He's strategically tries to keep strife in your house. He wants strife in your house somehow or another. And it don't matter how it comes. Don't try to level and justify any of it. If strife and stuff like that, use wisdom and get it out somehow. Just work on that and get that strife out. He tries to keep it in the church. He wants to get strife in the church and division in the church. That way, if anybody yields, he winning. If somebody yields in the house, there's times when demonic spirits will just be the atmosphere. And me, Teresa, we don't even have to wonder now. We don't talk or something. We just don't talk or something like that. We'll get quiet or something like that, you know, because we know that if one of us yields, it opens the door and gives him power. Gives him that authority. Power means against powers. Powers means they got the ability to influence if you yield. They do have the power to influence. He attacks the church in times with strife and division. Now those that are mature, they don't fall for it. But we got to be on guard for other folk. You know, we got to be on guard so that we're watching, you know, if somebody, just like I tell you about that dude, Baker dude, got up mad, he's going to quit the church, and I just jumped up back and not really taught what I'm saying. It was just in me. I got up, went out, and calmed the situation down and got him calmed down. He never left the church, but he was going to leave the church. I'm done. He got offended. He got mad over choices. It wouldn't have mattered what it was over, right? You can't justify none of that when it's strife and division. You just got to get rid of it. Now, I could have went out there and said, look, man, I'm fixing to do you like my brother did. I'm going to jack you up, man. I'm going to give you an uppercut like my brother taught me, and that'll shut you up for a little while. I could have went out there with that stupid stuff, you know, and just ruined it all. What's wrong with you? You've been a preacher longer than me. Don't get into that reasoning. Just kill it. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Right? Blessed. Blessed means prosperous. Favored by the Lord are those that bring peace. We're going to have to guard the church from that stuff. Right? Absolutely. He tries to get us not to believe God. He tries to get us to believe things are not going to change and work out. He tries to get us living in the moment. You got to live in the future. Your faith will help you live past what you're in. You know, you. Some people call it there's light at the end of the tunnel. I don't call it that way. I call it there's light in the tunnel and at the end of the tunnel. Faith gives you vision, praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, don't fall prey to that stuff. And let's help our kids and grandkids, you know, to cope with life where they're at in the spirit of faith, you know, and help them understand. And y'all kids and teenagers, you know, don't be so quick to think that mom and dad or your elders or me are trying to bind you. I don't even know what you do when you leave here. That's the devil. That's the devil. Because their desires, if they're right parents, and I know they are for Christians, they want to see you succeed. They want to see you go forward in life. They don't want to see you all jacked up, messed up like the world. Like those out there that ain't had no spiritual guidance. Don't be so quick to let the enemy make you think that they're selfish and self-seeking. Because they're not. If you're right as a parent, you're not. You want to bless them. Just like Chloe, she's out there changing oil. Look at her. No, Chloe, that was great. You know what that shows us, Chloe? That shows us that your parents care. That shows us, you know, that they know that one day you will need the techniques that they're teaching you. That's all that shows. I mean, Travis, he don't like training people. I mean, because it, you know, I could, Chloe laying there, I need a wrench. That's the wrong size. He gave me the wrong, and she just laying there waiting on another wrench. Now, Johnny could get under there and he'd have that toolbox, you know, and he'd coming out of there, he'd have that change before he could teach her which wrench to get. Because Johnny's got it. But it's not about that. It takes patience and love and caring to do that, to take time to do that. Because Johnny could be like, whoo, an ice cream's waiting on me. Dude, I ain't got time for this. You know, I'm finally off for an hour and a half, and I'm not going to teach you nothing. You know, and so, but if we stay on top of the game, so be appreciative to them. I mean, I know you might not even want to get your hands greasy or anything, but praise God. But they're doing it to help you and you, and I'm not, and they are them. Praise the Lord. So, praise God, you know, when trials come, use them to your advantage. And the Holy Ghost is going to help you remember that because you will experience trials. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just thank you today.